Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
How about it? Off and rolling on a Wednesday, July 24, 2024 is the date. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, how's it hanging, brother?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much. Hanging in there, paying close attention to Big Ten Media Days. We have all 32 teams in NFL training camps, and get this, we are a month away from week zero in college football. We're going to have Delaware State versus Hawaii. We're going to have Florida State versus Georgia Tech in good old Dublin. Montana State versus New Mexico. SMU on the road against Nevada. Are you hyped for any of those games? I think Georgia Tech versus Florida State can get the blood boiling a little bit.
Yeah, that one sounds pretty
fun. It'd
be
a nice little appetizer. Nothing in week zero is ever very good. But they're going to be over at Aviva Stadium, so that'll be fun to watch. But we are right here on the precipice of college football season, of NFL season, of football season in general, and I couldn't be more excited. Now, we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on overreaction, not an overreaction, as we normally do on a Wednesday. After that, we're going to hop into a little bit of Grizzlies news. Grizzlies made a move today, a marginal move, that we will need to discuss. It has to do with two ways, but as we've seen the past couple of years, namely last year, in that 27-win season, two ways, they mean a little bit. They mean something. So we'll talk about that move and what is to come for the Grizzlies. A little more NBA discussion on top of that with their TV media rights deal being held up. Connor, what can you tell me about that off the top real quick with TNT, Warner Brothers Discovery, Amazon? We know that Warner Brothers Discovery said that they matched to try to keep around inside the NBA and NBA on TNT, but it looks like the NBA is denying that motion.
Well, the NBA said in a statement that some of the things that TNT offered or Warner Bros. Offered did not match the proposal that Amazon had, so they have decided to go with Amazon. And it sounds like that decision has been made for a while now, because Amazon Prime immediately had graphics ready for the NBA announcement, and here's what we know so far. So Prime Video officially announces their plans for the NBA in 2025. Weekly regular season games, playoff games, conference finals, play-in tournament, NBA Cup, which is the in-season tournament, Black Friday game, WNBA Commissioner's Cup Championship, and the WNBA postseason and finals.
Okay. Well, they were ready to go.
They were ready to go.
Yeah. And TNT's just been sitting on their hands. This feels like David Zaslav and all the people, the higher-ups at TNT and Warner Brothers Discovery, just trying to get this out in the public so the public pressures the NBA into making a decision they don't want to make. That's sort of what it feels like to me at this current moment. If they didn't actually match Amazon, but they told all of these publications that they did, that would lead me to believe that.
I theorized last week that Zaslav was going to make a quote-unquote proposal to make it seem like they were going to match, but he was going to leave out a few key things, and then the NBA would ultimately go with Amazon. Because, to be quite honest, even if I think Warner Bros. Had gotten the deal with the NBA, they were just kicking the can down the road. And I know it would have been an 11-year deal or something like that, but when that deal ran up, they would have just made the jump to Amazon anyway. It's very, very clear to me that for a long time now, the NBA has wanted to be in business with Amazon Prime. And to be quite honest, I am hoping that moving forward, it might help out, you know, us being able to watch the product a little bit easier, because it has been difficult sometimes to watch these NBA games.
Yeah, David Zaslav, known as a good faith negotiator, right? Historically.
He sucks.
Right?
I hate
great,
him.
Great, good
genuinely,
faith negotiator.
Genuinely hate him as a person.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to also have David Cobb at 5 o'clock from CBS Sports. We have 6 o'clock, Jarvis Greer from the Grizz Beat. He's also the color analyst for Memphis football. He was on hand at the groundbreaking for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, the new renovations, how that's all going to look. And we did have Memphis football get picked at the top of the American Athletic Conference. And he is the color analyst. So I want to get more light shed on what that's going to look like. We'll hop into the Blitz around 6:30. Rose Bowl management chair was at Big Ten Media Days and spoke on the future of the Rose Bowl game. And they are not they're not wanting to make any concessions with any other bowls in the college football playoff rotation. They want to keep their time slot. They want to keep their date. And that's rubbing some people the wrong way. They want to uphold tradition, but as we have seen in the past, tradition is broken already. So I don't really get their thought there, but we'll talk about that in the Blitz, as well as for you Cowboys fans out there, this was expected, and I'm not saying a deal's not going to get done, but CeeDee Lamb was not at Cowboys camp, and the obvious report, is that he wants a contract that will make him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. That shouldn't be a surprise, though, right? I think everybody sort of understood that with where Justin Jefferson got paid, with where Amon-Ra St. Brown got paid, A.J. Brown got 3 years, $96 million. CeeDee Lamb's next in line. The Cowboys have sat on their hands. They earned this. They earned this. There's no doubt about it. Now, without further ado, I want to open up very, very quickly and hop into what we normally hop into on a Wednesday. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Now, it's overreaction or not an overreaction.
We are too wild and crazy guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
Gabe, we are a month away from the college football season.
Hell yes.
We are in the home stretch. Here at Memphis, we have the groundbreaking for the renovations at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, and we have the first preseason AAC media poll with the Tigers at the top with 23 of the 30 first place votes. We are a month away and change out from the most important year in Memphis football history. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. You're sitting with the big boys. You have a chance against a team like Florida State to go make a statement early in the year, second game of the year. Now, it's going to be tough because they're playing in week zero, and they're going to have a week off. They're going to have a full bye week. It's going to be really hard to go on the road in Doak Campbell Stadium and go win that game. But at the same time, if they keep it close, you feel really confident about what they're putting out there. But you also have the stadium renovations. You have FedEx money. You have one of the most talented teams with the most continuity in Memphis football history. Your offense can be just as explosive, if not more explosive, than it was a year ago. This is the most important football year in Memphis history. I don't think there's any debate. Now, I will say this. I hope that the 32,000 seats, because half the stadium's going to be wrecked and down, I hope they all get filled just about every game. I think you'll have a lot of sellouts. It's going to be actually a tough ticket this year. So, you Memphis football fans, if you haven't gotten season tickets, I would rethink that decision at this particular moment. But because you're with the big boys, you have a chance to get in the college football playoff. Memphis has never had a chance to play for a national championship. Now, I know most people say it's still an outside thought for them to run the table and get to a national championship. I agree with you. But to be able to be a part of that conversation is hugely important for teams that have never been in that ballpark, for teams in the group of five who have never had access. That is massive. And I also think going into the future, this is an inflection point for Ryan Silverfield. Right? I think he's come in below expectations two of the last 3 years. Last year, I think he exceeded to a certain extent, although he won all the games he was supposed to win, lost all the games he was supposed to lose. This is going to be an inflection point. Can you win all the games you are supposed to win and manage this season the correct way? And with that, if you do manage the season the correct way, all that recruiting with that FedEx money, that continues to work in your favor. You continue to get the Antoine Hill Juniors. You continue to get the top 100 recruits. If you don't, it could go back to normal. It could revert back to a certain extent. You have to have a good year for the future of this program this year, or a lot of things could revert back to the way they have been. So I think this is a serious inflection point. You have a lot of good, positive momentum. You need to keep that momentum going.
I think that's the key to it. You have to make sure the positive momentum that you have gained from pretty much the Liberty, I would say it's really began in, with the Liberty Bowl win. The defense looked different. It was just, you had a different feeling of the Memphis football season after they had that big Liberty Bowl win. If they didn't win that game, I'm not sure we would have headed into the offseason with as much positive momentum as we were feeling. But then, very quickly, you found out about the stadium renovations. Then you found out about the NIL money with FedEx. And then you got Antoine Hill Jr. And it's just, all of a sudden, now the transfer portal did pretty well. You were able to keep guys on campus. And all of the sudden, it has just felt like, okay, we are heading into probably the season that has the most expectations for this Memphis football team that we've ever had.
It's the first time they've ever been picked at the top of a conference.
Exactly. And like, I understand some people would say, well, what about the Cotton Bowl season? Well, the Cotton Bowl season, it felt like that kind of developed as the season was going on. Like, I don't think anybody expected the Cotton Bowl heading into that year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you would know more so than me. It just feels like the expectation for Memphis is higher than it's ever been, too. It's not really just about the importance of the season. It's just what people expect from the team, period, is higher than it has ever been before.
Yes, you have to keep those expectations. I understand expectations are hard to live up to.
Right.
But when you don't have expectations, you have indifference. And if you do not reach these expectations, I think a lot of these casual fans that are hopping on board right now because of the continuity, because of the FedEx NIL deal, because of the stadium renovations and all this positive momentum, if you only win 9 games this year, a lot of those fans jump off. They become indifferent. They stop worrying about this program. And what I do like about this is an opportunity. Because we've talked incessantly, and I know some people are a little annoyed about it, about College Football 25 by EA Sports, right? We have talked incessantly about it, and people are annoyed by it,
We're
excited about it. But to see the brand that has been built here at Memphis, the amount of people that play with Memphis that are excited to play with Memphis, all the different color schemes and the tiger stripes and all, there is a brand that's been built, and the brand exposure is at this certain level. If you get to the college football playoff, if you accomplish the things that the people in the city want you to accomplish, that brand exposure takes a different turn. It puts you in a different category altogether. And with that type of brand exposure, bringing in more casual fans, you know what that helps with? Building a fan base helps with getting into a bigger conference.
Yes.
So they've done all the right things off the field. They need to do the right things on the field to help this brand continue to thrive and move in the right direction. And I think that even better things are to come for this program if they're able to accomplish and exceed the expectations that have been set this year.
And listen, I understand that context is needed here when you're talking about the expectations that the Memphis Tigers have. One of the reasons the expectation is so high specifically within the conference is you are in one of the weaker conferences that you have been in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it just is. Your schedule is not that difficult within. You have a few games that we're worried about. We've discussed them.
Well, they've got one of the toughest schedules in conference.
You know what I mean. But they are clearly the most talented team. They have the most continuity. They have the most resources. So they should be able to take care of business within season. And I know that other teams have moved on, but you are being picked basically as the top group of five team. It's not just the top team in the American Athletic Conference. Most people consider Memphis to be the top group of five team. And what we have seen in the past is that if those top teams have successful seasons, and I understand that there's no college football playoff or college football conference expansion right now, but we expect it to happen down the road and in the future, we have seen those teams that are at the top, if you are able to sustain success and you have the resources and you have a brand new shiny stadium, that should allow you to make the jump. So yes. You have to make sure this momentum continues because, for me at least, it feels like they're just now scratching the surface on what the possibilities could be for Memphis football moving forward in the NIL era. It just feels like that you have a few different opportunities than we have had in the past, specifically because of FedEx. We've already seen it come to fruition. Immediately, the recruiting got better. Immediately, the transfer portal got better. I thought it was going to take some time for that to happen, but it was an immediate impact. So you do not want to lose any of that momentum if you're Memphis football. I don't expect them to. I think it's going to be a highly successful season for all the things that I just stated. I will say there are a couple games that do freak me out within the schedule because, you know, guys can catch you every once in a while.
Hardest
that Navy
games
game
are on the road.
Always worries me, too.
But also, hardest games are on the road. Navy, absolutely. South Florida, Florida State, yeah. UTSA, and Tulane all on the road. Your hardest games are on the road. That's going to be a hard schedule to manage.
Right.
But I think that they have more talent than most of the teams in conference that they're going to be playing on the road, so they should be able to handle business, but they're going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. Now, what do they need to do? I've been asked this question several times. What do they need to do to reach their expectations, to reach their goals, to potentially be the group of five represented in the college football playoff? I think it's twofold. One, I think they need to, on offense, be able to keep the same level of balance that they did a year ago. Blake Watson ran for 1,000 yards, and that was the first 1,000-yard rusher in the Seth Hennigan era. What did Seth Hennigan do? Had a high in TDs, a high in passing yards, a high in completion percentage. To be able to have that balanced type of offense is so paramount for a quarterback because you can get into more play action concepts. You can really expose a defense, have them on their heels consistently if you can run and throw the ball at a high level. I don't worry about throwing the ball. You have Damir Blankensee, you have Kobe Drake, you have Rock Taylor, you have guys on the outside that are fully capable. The one thing you worry about is it's a new set of offensive linemen. But if you hear Ryan Silverfield talk about it, if you hear Ryan talk about it, he thinks this is the deepest group he's had ever since he's been at the University of Memphis. There is about 8 guys that he trusts with experience across that offensive line that could win jobs. We'll see how it all plays out. But I think that is first and foremost, do what you did last year, maybe exceed what you did last year in being a balanced offense. And I think that running back room is going to come in handy. Very, very, it's going to be vital, right? You have a guy in Mario Anderson Jr. who ran for 700 yards, was the leading rusher at South Carolina. You have Sutton Smith, who we know can split out and wide, can do some of that Tony Pollard role, if you will, and still run the ball between the tackles, get off tackle, do some of those outside zone concepts. I think you have a thunder and lightning package there that you feel good about and how this run game's going to go, at least in the backfield. We're going to have to see how the O-line manages themselves. And then the second part of this, defense, and I think mostly secondary, be average. Be average. It's that simple. There was one time in the last 5 years where Memphis football's defense was the top half of the American Athletic Conference. You don't have to look far. 2019, they get to the Cotton Bowl. All those defensive metrics were the top half of the conference. Adam Fuller did a hell of a job. He's at Florida State. I feel confident about Jordan Hankins stopping the run, but what can he do to help alleviate some of the concerns they've had in the secondary? I think they've gotten some good players. Kobe Miner from Indiana, Taj Rael from Old Dominion. They have Greg Rubin is still here. He moved to free safety. You have some players that you're confident can make a difference, an impact for you in that secondary, but they actually have to make an impact. I'm tired of year after year saying, oh, I think this defense, this secondary is going to be improved, and they're not. Can they actually take that step? I feel confident about stopping the run. You have the best linebacking core in the American Athletic Conference. You brought over Elijah Herring, the leading tackler from Tennessee in the transfer portal. You have the leading tackler on the team last year and Chandler Martin coming back for another year. And I think he's got a couple more years because he was young when he came over from the FCS level. You have guys up front, Cormonte Hamilton, 5th year at the defensive end position. William Whitlow, 5th year at the defensive end position. You have 2 guys there in the middle who are transfer guys that really can stop the run, that can make you feel confident. You have 1 guy who can pierce in Derek Hunter. He's a guy who came out of JUCO last year. He was a transfer guy who you feel confident can make an impact this year. But there's another guy by the name of PJ Lucas that I want everyone to get familiar with. 6'3", coming over from Indiana, where Kobe Miner came from. 6'3", 330 pounds, space-eating D-tackle. Feel good about stopping the run. Jordan Hankins did a good job in that AutoZone Liberty Bowl of holding Iowa State to 0 yards rushing. But if that secondary can't follow suit, we could have another disappointing year on the defensive side. But if they can be average, if they can just keep themselves in the middle ground and AAC defensive metrics – everything's on the table for this team that we have already talked about.
I totally agree. And I was going to ask you if, you know, the key thing to this season, is it the defensive side of the football? And it really feels like it is, because I think most of us all expect the offense is going to show up because of mostly what we saw last year, and you have so much consistency, and I think that Mario Anderson's going to be able to step into that Blake Watson role. He may not give you the same production, but he's a highly talented player that will be able to give you at least most of it. But it does feel like every single year for the last few years we have heard, well, just wait until you see that defense.
Yes.
It's pacing the offense. And then the first few games were like, oh. Where? That must have been a slow pace. It was not going very well. And that is why I do think that some are hesitant to buy fully into this Memphis football team yet, because we have been told the last few off seasons, oh, it's going to be better, it's going to be better, well, it's going to be better. And it hasn't necessarily been easy yet.
Last year, we sort of got a sold a bag of goods, and then they played terrible teams to open the season. They looked good on the defensive end. Then they started to get some of those teams who spread it out and throw the ball, and you're like, oh, wow. We thought this secondary was going to be better. They're not. I remember that North Texas game last year. Chandler Rogers at quarterback, who's now at Cal. Just every jump ball went in the direction of North Texas, and that's why that game was so close. Seth Hennigan had to throw a ball over the middle, a deep, skinny post, to Joe Skates to go win that game. Like, you have to be able to limit those opportunities for other teams. When you get a team that wants to run the ball, you have to be able to stop it. I feel confident about that. But when you get those teams deep in your schedule that want to back you up, spread you out, throw the ball, use those wide splits like we saw with South Florida last year, who scored 50, by the way. And Byron Brown was phenomenal, and I'm scared of them this year. I think they're a tough team that they're going to have to deal with. But when you get to play some of those teams, you have to be able to limit their opportunities. And we have not seen them be able to do that since 2019.
Outside of the defense, where are your worry spots with this Memphis football team? Is it mostly in the trenches? Is it the offensive line?
I mean, yes, but...
Is worry too strong of a word?
I think worry for me would be the secondary.
Okay.
That's the worry I have, because as much as we've been promised over the years, it's never come to fruition. It could have been Matt Barnes coaching or Chris Ball coaching or, you know... I mean, we've had... How many defensive coordinators coach
this? It's been a revolving door.
Yes, and the secondary has always been the same, no matter who that person is. So that's my worry. I think O-line is a question. Who's actually going to start? What's it going to look like? Are they going to rotate guys in? Because I feel pretty confident, having talked to Ryan on several occasions, they have the bodies to go compete in the trenches on the offensive line, similar to what they did a year ago. They're just going to have to go do it. If that's a question, I think the secondary is a worry.
If you had to make a prediction of the record right now, what would you say?
This is conservative. I'm going to say 10-2, appearance in the American Athletic Conference, maybe round you out at 11-2 if you win that game. We'll see. We'll see. But I think 10-2 is my conservative. That's going to be my conservative pick.
You think that's a successful season?
It's a successful season.
Because it would be, what, the fifth time they've ever won 10 games?
But depending on what happens in the American Athletic Conference Championship,
yep,
it could be disappointing. You lose that game, that's disappointing. You win that game, success.
I tend to believe the bar for success for the Memphis football team this year is a conference championship. It really feels like that. If you want to continue the momentum in the way that you have it right now, you have got to walk away from the season with a conference championship.
But again, if you lose in the conference championship, I don't think that's the end-all, be-all, oh my gosh, you failed.
It depends.
I think it's disappointing, though.
It also depends how you lose.
But I think it's disappointing is the way I would try to, you know, talk about it. That's the way I'd put it.
I suppose to get rid of any detractors that may still be present, walk away with the championship.
Win the damn thing. Yes.
You should win it. Win it.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Pat's head coach, Gerard Mayo, says that it's clear Jacoby Brissett is the most pro-ready quarterback on the roster and has given him all the first-team reps. Why is this a story? Pat's, of course, took Drake May at number two, and in a day and age of pressure of forcing first-rounders to be out there from day one, Gerard Mayo is taking a measured approach. Here's what he had to say about the situation.
Yeah, the goal for Drake is just to get better each and every day. And look, it's not a straight line up to the top. There will be ups and downs, but if you look left to right, you just hope that if he started here, he's here. And once again, if he comes out here and he takes full advantage and lights it up, like, he could be the day one quarterback. But like I said, coming out of the spring, I think it's Jacoby.
The Patriots are playing this correctly. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
I just think naturally a not an overreaction. I think the Pats are in a different situation than normal rebuilds. And really, the reason I'm bringing this up off the top is because I think there's a lesson to be taken about different rebuilds and different franchises and how they handle it. But the Pats are in a different situation than a normal rebuild. They fit into a different category. I think it's a much less pressurized situation for a guy like Drake May than he would normally be put in. If he was in a Washington Commander uniform or a Jets uniform, without Aaron Rodgers there, of course, or a Browns uniform over the years, that would be a different situation. I'll explain that in a second. But it's a legendary coach and a quarterback that are gone. They had a crazy amount of success. They had 6 Super Bowls. And you watch that coaching legend and Bill Belichick bottom the whole thing out. He couldn't even get it done by the end of the era that he was so successful in. And it's a fan base, to me, that's thirst has been quenched, right? 6 Super Bowls will do that to you. And it's not that they don't want to win, but they've been there and they've done that. And by the end of Bill Belichick, I know how legendary he was. Most Pats fans were begging for change. I want a future-oriented offseason. I want to move forward. They ended up getting that. You switch to Gerard Mayo. You get a quarterback for the future in Drake May. Now there's a clear and obvious patience that has to be practiced. And I think that Pats fans and the Pats brass are going to practice that. No one's fooling themselves with visions of grandeur in 2024 for the 2024 New England Patriots. No one thinks that roster's good enough. It hasn't been good enough the last few years. It's certainly not good enough now in the first year without Bill Belichick or Tom Brady. Now, I think there's a different situation that we look at with other rebuilds and other franchises. We know the Pats have been stable, but there are ugly rebuilds. There are franchises that have no stability. Recently, the Jets and Browns fit this category. No recent winning, not a storied franchise, have failed to rebuild on several occasions. In these situations, you have to sell hope, right? You can't sell patience to different franchises that have never won, to fan bases that have never won. The fan base has had plenty of patience, you look at the Jets and Browns, over the years, and nothing has materialized. So inevitably, pressure forces the hand of the powers that be, and that usually comes from the fan base. It's a business, and unhappy, indifferent fans are bad for business. And if you don't believe me that, fans can put pressure on a front office and on a coach to go play that first-round quarterback that is going to sell that hope, look at Johnny Manziel and the experience with the Cleveland Browns. The guy didn't study film. He hit the bars. He drank incessantly. He probably had double the limit BAC by the time he got to practice in the morning. He did his weight in cocaine. He missed meetings. He missed workouts. And they still played him his rookie year. It was probably an actual safety hazard to have him on an NFL football field. But the Browns knew they had to sell some type of hope, and it was good for business. I think when we talk about rebuilds and we talk about first-round quarterbacks, everything has to be, prefaced or talked about in a certain way. The Patriots are a stable franchise. They know who they are. They're moving in the direction. They're not needing to sell all this crazy hope with Drake May right now. But other franchises, the Panthers, the Jets, the Browns, those type of franchises, they have to sell hope or their fans become indifferent. So I think that this is being played perfectly by the Patriots and by Gerard Mayo. And for the reasons I just laid out, this is not a pressurized rebuild. They have some time. They have some patience with that fan base.
Jacoby Brissett, underrated, overrated, properly rated?
Properly rated.
You think so?
He's a great gap year quarterback. You're not going to sell that he's going to be some playoff winning quarterback and he's going to turn it on and be unbelievable. But you can win 7 games and have a nice gap year and have him teach a guy like Drake May. He's been in the league for years upon years upon years. He can give some lessons to Drake May along the way, and I think that's the idea of what the Patriots are doing right now.
And most importantly, he's not going to win too many games.
Yes.
He's not going to
get another good pick.
Exactly. He's not going to kick you out of a good playoff or a good draft pick.
I don't doubt by the end of the year Drake May will get some reps.
Right.
But I don't think that you need to force your rookie quarterback that first round, first 5 overall pick. You don't need to go throw him into a game immediately just because you feel like you need to sell hope. There are certain franchises that have to do that, but there are franchises like the Patriots, like the Steelers, like those types of franchises They have done so well over the years. They're stable. They know who they are. They have an identity. So they can sit back and wait a tad bit. The Packers, right? They can sit back, wait a little bit, let that guy cook, and then put him in when he's ready. So, yeah.
I wonder if it'll look like the Titans with Levis last year a little bit. I know different circumstance,
yeah,
but
I think
it might be similar, the timeline of it.
It'd be interesting. It would be interesting to watch that. It'll be interesting to watch. You did have an incumbent last year, though, with the Titans, too, with Will Levis.
Yes.
You thought he'd sit behind for a while, but Ryan Tannehill had his injuries and had his issues. You had to put him in. You had no choice.
Right, that's why I said circumstance different, but timeline similar.
Yes, I agree with that. And I don't think it was a pressurized situation at all for Will Levis last year. So it's very similar in that.
Well, very, and this year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here doesn't feel like it either. Like, we're talking about how we think that they could be a scrappy team, but it doesn't seem like the playoffs are the expectation by any means from the ownership or the front office.
Yeah, but I think in this day and age where you just force these guys in by hook or by crook, Gerard Mayo in his first year playing it about as well as he possibly can. I know that there's some people out there that are saying, well, Jacoby Brissett, come on. He's a starter in this NFL. Are we kidding ourselves right now? But at the same time, Drake May needs some time to cook. He's still a young quarterback. Let him go cook. And then eventually, when you put him into a game, he'll probably be ready. Like to hear that.
Would the Jets have made the playoffs with Brissett?
I don't know. It'd be better than Zach Wilson.
Maybe
you bump that win total from 7 to 8. You know, but like, and maybe people aren't complaining as much about Jacoby Brissett. I'd almost bet that. But yeah, I don't think Jacoby Brissett would have gotten the Jets over top. But. We're never going to figure that out. We're never going to figure that out. So that is a complete hypothetical. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we'll come back. We have some Grizzlies news. Grizzlies made a move today on the margins. It's worth discussing. Very, very curious move. Didn't necessarily see it coming, but Trey Jemison has officially been waived. We'll tell you who is taking his spot on a two-way next. 92.9 FM ESPN. News, but news nonetheless on the Grizzlies front. We're still waiting for Luke Kennard to sign a team-friendly deal to potentially stay with the Grizzlies for the next few years. Hopefully we can get that before the weekend, but we'll see. It hasn't happened. Fingers crossed. But as of today, looks like the Grizzlies have freed up a two-way spot by waiving Trey Jemison, who I thought played really valiantly, played pretty well in summer league. Kind of stinks. I thought it was some of his best play in a Grizzlies uniform to this point. I know it was against summer league competition, but still.
He
won me over. I thought he could be, you know, an extra guy. He was at least going to be available if you had some injuries, that type of thing, to some of your bigs. He'd be a guy you could stick in there for 5 to 10 minutes and feel comfortable. He had won me over. But they get rid of him, and then they immediately sign a guy by the name of Jay Huff on a two-way. He's from Virginia, going to be 26 years old by the time he plays this season. He is 7'1", 240, so he fits that role of a big for the Grizzlies. He spent time with the Lakers, the Wizards, and the Nuggets. He was the 2022-23 G League Defensive Player of the Year in the G League last year. Averaged 20.4 points per game, 7.8 rebounds per game, an assist per game, 4 blocks per game, 53% from the field. He can stretch out to the three-point line, shot at a 37% clip from out there, and he's about 90% from the free throw line. And even in Summer League, the reason he got picked up by the Grizzlies, and he was playing with the Magic in Summer League this year on no contract at all, trying to earn one. With the Magic, 16.8 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 2 blocks per game, 62% from the field, 35% from three. He's definitely got some athleticism. He can run the floor. He's very sizable. And he throws a different look than a lot of the other Grizzlies bigs have. He can stretch out to the three-point line and still rebound and do the dirty work that Trey Jemison was doing as a two-way guy. I like the pickup. I don't know how much it's going to matter in the end of the day, but I think what we're looking at is the guy that could potentially be in the game if Santi, Jaren, Zach Edey, you know, those guys, Brandon Clark, if any of those guys have an injury or if any of them get into foul trouble, he'll be there to pick up some of those minutes.
Yeah, you know, and this is, it's no offense to Trey Jemison. I think that he gave a lot of effort for the Memphis Grizzlies. He gave them some solid minutes, and I thought that he showed in summer league that he has the ability to be a solid two-way guy for them, but he would have been used sparingly. At the end of the day, though, this is one of those moves that shows how cutthroat the NBA can be, how difficult it can really be to stick in the NBA. Because at the end of the day, Jay Huff's 7'1". He's more athletic.
He does more.
He's a better shooter. He's kind of a better rebounder. He's a better defender. He matches what the Memphis Grizzlies are trying to do with their big man rotation more than Trey Jemison. And I hope that he lands somewhere. He's a solid, high-activity player. I'm sure another NBA team out there would love to have him on a two-way or on their G League team. So I wish him the best. But there is no doubt about it to me. This is an improvement for the Memphis Grizzlies. It's a marginal improvement.
Yes,
it's not like Jay Huff's going to play big minutes. But if he has to, I will probably feel a little bit more comfortable with Jay Huff than I would Trey Jemison.
And here's the obvious plan for them going forward. They're not going to sign a veteran big. I don't think that's not going to happen. It's hard to get guys to agree to guaranteed deals.
Well, especially now.
And also, you can get the best of both worlds with a two-way guy.
Right.
Right? You can have him play in the G League, and if you need him, you call him up, and he can play with a big squad. So, like, there's really – I don't think there's any drawbacks to doing this. But this is clear to me. Their plan this year is to be that fifth reserve big. They're going to have that guy on a two-way. They're not worried about going and getting an extra guy on the active roster. They don't want that. They want Luke Kennard to fill that up. And then if there's other moves made, I don't know if they'll even worry about getting another big on a guaranteed deal.
I'm curious to see what it means for Diakite, too. You know, because he is still technically on the Memphis Grizzlies roster. Are they going to try to re-sign Kennard and keep it at 15, or are they going to waive him now that they have Huff on a two-way? But at the end of the day, I think it's a solid pickup for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's a 7-footer who excels on the defensive end. He can shoot the basketball, and he appears to be athletic. And you know how I like to bring this up a lot, Gabe. What do I always go check when the Grizzlies or one of the teams that I like acquires a player? What do I always go and do? Because it tells you the true story.
You go look at whatever that team, the team that he was on, what their fans are saying about it.
Correct. The Magic fans are pissed.
Yeah.
They're real pissed because they watched this guy have a tremendous summer league for them. And
he's probably their best player on their summer league team.
I'm not going to pretend to know to know what the Magic summer league really looked like inside and out, but with the numbers that we just read off, I'm assuming he was one of their better players. And it seems like today that they are very frustrated that he is not on a two-way deal, because it seems like that the Magic actually had some room there for the two-way and they just weren't able to get it done. And I want to make this very clear. I've seen some people bring this up with a guy like Scottie Pippen Jr. Scottie Pippen Jr. is under contract with the Memphis Grizzlies on a two-way.
Yes.
Another team cannot come and get him. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
If you are saying that out there, stop saying
Grizzlies
it.
Grizzlies have the rights to Scottie Pippen Jr.
For that to
if
happen.
They want to convert that that contract, they can do that.
And we will say, once again, there is no reason for them to convert him. No other team can come steal Scottie Pippen Jr. away from the Grizzlies. So I've seen that being thrown out there a lot in the last few days. That is not possible. It cannot happen. It is an impossibility. And that's why, you know, I feel really comfortable now with the two-way guys.
My next question, though, it feels like the Grizzlies have a fair amount of confidence that they're going to stay relatively healthy in the front court. Four guys, and that's it. They seem pretty confident they're going to stay healthy.
You can't assume that everybody's going to go down like they did last year. I'm okay with having that assumption right now because I don't want to head into the season. That feels like bad karma to bring in. You know what I mean? If you're worried about everybody getting hurt, you might speak that into existence a little bit. I don't know. But the big man rotation at the end of the day, as it sits right now.
Not bad.
Not bad. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. I think all of us would still prefer a more seasoned big behind Zach Edey. But at the end of the day, your rotation's going to be Jaren Jackson Jr., Zach Edey, Brandon Clark. You'll have Santi Aldama there. You'll have Huff there. GG Jackson's probably going to get some minutes at the four.
They're willing to spend, here's what it tells me. They're willing to spend two-way money on an extra big. They're not willing to spend real guaranteed money on an extra big.
Right.
That's what it is.
I wonder what that means for Luke Kennard, too. I am curious about that.
They're trying to save money to give him somewhat close to what he has earned, right? I still don't know what that contract's going to look like.
Part of me feels if they are ever able to get off of the John Contrar deal, that is when we may see another big come in.
Yep. Now, speaking of other deals around the NBA, I'll get to the TV media rights deal in just a second and the statement that the NBA put out on behalf of Warner Brothers Discovery in their proposal. But there's a couple of contracts worth discussing. Andrew Nimhard with the Pacers, 3 years, $59 million. It was
good
the most they could give him with the
good
Pacers on an extension, and he's earned that. Through 2 years, he has been great.
He
was really
good
in the playoffs.
Really good.
Really good. And I thought he played well with Team Canada for the most part. And then Reggie Jackson was bought out by the Hornets, and it cleared the way for him to sign with the 76ers. That team looks deeper and deeper by the day. I mean, Eric Gordon, Kelly Oubre, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson all off the bench for them. You should feel pretty confident if you're a 76ers fan.
You got Eric Gordon, too.
Yeah, I brought up Eric Gordon.
Oh, you said
Eric
him.
Gordon. But, I mean, that starting lineup with Paul George, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, bringing some of these guys off the bench, they're filling out that roster pretty nicely. But I get the sense, like...
No excuses. No excuses for him this year. None whatsoever.
Here's my thing, though. And I think it was similar with the Clippers, right? It shouldn't have been excuses, right? Because injuries, I don't want to use as an excuse because if you're oft injured, it's like, stop being oft injured. Stop continually doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. I get the sense, and I don't know if you feel this way, 76ers feel like the Clippers East to me, the way they've built this team.
Oh, that it's kind of a house of cards?
Yes. Yes. Joel Embiid, Paul George go down, you start to lose a lot of confidence. But they do have good reserves that keep you at least in the hunt, feeling somewhat confident.
What's their big man rotation look like?
Joel Embiid, Andre Drummond, for the most part.
Oof.
Like, I'm just, to me,
those are
how
two
much of this,
very different basketball players.
How much of this, though, does it sort of feel like we've taken the Clippers and sort of supplanted them, put them in the East right now with the 76ers, where you're still going to have the same concerns about them getting over the top. Can those guys stay healthy in the playoffs? I don't care how much talent they have on that roster, experienced talent they have on that roster, because the Clippers had Norman Powell, and, they had Reggie Jackson for a while. They had Nick Batum. They had all these guys off the bench, and they had Kawhi and Paul George, those guys leading the way. But still, they were never able to get over the top because of the same concerns we have with this 76ers team. That's how I feel about them right now. I understand that the excuses are eliminated with the process and how they've gotten here, but you still have the Celtics to get over top, and I still have the same concerns that I had about the Clippers. It's just now in the East with the 76ers.
They've got Jerry McCain, too. Their big man rotation is not terrible. It's just, it's a very different feel if something happens to Embiid if you have to start Drummond. It completely changes the way your team's going to operate. Now, the good news is you have a guy like Tyrese Maxey who, on most NBA teams, would be your number one guy. It's just if you have a superstar or a top five player, he's probably your second string or your second most important guy. But on the 76ers, you know, when Embiid has gone down, we've even seen throughout the playoffs in a couple of moments, it feels like he is their best guy in moments when Embiid isn't able to go. For me, it feels like with the 76ers, I have confidence that they'll be able to stay relatively healthy throughout the regular season because we've seen them do that. It's really going to be, what does Embiid look like once he gets to the playoffs?
Is he hobbled in the playoffs?
It feels like a make or break year for him. In my opinion, it is Eastern Conference Finals or bust for the 76ers.
Well, the truth,
if they don't make it there, it's a failure of a season.
The truth of it is, I think people are growing tired of the Joel Embiid experience as this MVP candidate.
Just see what's happening this summer.
People are frustrated by it because as much as you think he is one of the best players in the NBA, he is that during the regular season.
Absolutely.
That's the reason he won an MVP. But as you get into the games that matter, he just disappears. And that limits what I think your ceiling is as an MVP candidate, as one of the best players in the NBA. You haven't even made an Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it's just at some point, the whole charade, the whole story becomes tired when we talk about Joel Embiid.
Embiid is an unbelievably talented player. He has not been able to get it done in the playoffs, and a lot of it is because of his own play.
Yep.
And his own health. So he has got to take it upon himself to make sure that he is ready for that run. And if he does that, we will give credit where credit is due. But we have yet to see it. We have yet to see it.
Now, on Monday, the NBA basically was told by Warner Brothers Discovery that they were going to get a match, right? $1.8 billion. The thought was that they were going to go against Amazon, and Warner Brothers Discovery was going to try to keep Inside the NBA and the NBA on TNT alive. The NBA, though, put out a statement today on the proposal that Warner Brothers Discovery put out. They said the NBA today issued the following statement. Warner Brothers Discovery most recent proposal did not match the terms of Amazon Prime Video's offer, and therefore we have entered into a long-term arrangement with Amazon. Throughout these negotiations, our primary objective has been to maximize the reach and accessibility of our games for our fans. Our new arrangement with Amazon supports this goal by complementing the broadcast, cable, and streaming packages that are already part of our new Disney and NBC Universal arrangements. All three partners have also committed substantial resources to promote the league and enhance the fan experience. We are grateful to Turner Sports for its award-winning coverage of the NBA and look forward to another season, one more season, of the NBA on TNT. I wonder at this point, because this is the NBA saying, you're out. You are officially out. There's nothing you can do besides going into litigation with us. Will Warner Brothers Discovery try to fight a court battle with the NBA now to keep their coverage going on the NBA on TNT? I'm curious about this. Clearly, they've been hemorrhaging a little bit of money.
Yeah.
The reason that they didn't, play part in this package because they didn't want to pay that much to the NBA. So are they willing to pay that much in legal fees to go fight the NBA to keep their coverage? It's going to be an interesting sort of saga to watch. I think it's going to be very, very... very interesting.
This is a company that is hemorrhaging money, like you said. They are having to do tax write-offs with movies that have already been completed. We already know two of them, Batgirl, and then there was a Warner Brothers, like a Looney Tunes movie that they got rid of. Both of them were supposed to be very good, and they just wrote, no thank you, because It was a tax write-off for David Zaslav, you D-bag. I do not expect them to really take this to court or to go after it, because I don't know if they can afford it. And What's the end game? You're not going to win. You're not going to beat Amazon the NBA. You're just not. There's no way that you're going to do that. And we already know that they are having issues, the Warner Bros. Discovery. They're already having discussions about splitting it up right after they did the merger because they don't know what to do with it. And their idea, Gabe, is to have a movie studio and then a channel or a service for reality TV. So you're talking about HBO and Discovery, just like it was before you did all of this crap. I don't understand what they've been doing at the top. I don't think he knows what he's doing. He tried to save face here by saying, oh, we're going to match it. But it's very clear, in my opinion, that there were key things that were left out. The NBA didn't go into detail. They may have matched the money, but I wonder if there were some other factors that allowed the NBA to say, well, you didn't match this. I also tend to believe that the NBA was going to find anything. If they didn't dot an I, they were going to say that proposal didn't match the Amazon proposal
because
they do not want to be in business with them anymore.
I think there's something to be said. I think there's something to be said about Amazon and the reach they have, too.
This
is 53% of households now have Amazon Prime. We'll have access to these NBA games. They feel like that's enough, and I think they wanted a streaming platform to really go home with. They really wanted, as at least the tertiary, the third, package that they put together, they wanted to have streaming. They wanted to have streaming only almost with that Amazon package. So It was always going to be an uphill battle for Warner Brothers Discovery to beat out Amazon, but if they did, if it's embarrassing to me. If they really went out of their way to put that out in the public eye and give it to front office sports, give the story to everybody, and they didn't actually match the number that was put out there of $1.8 billion, that's embarrassing.
Like I said,
it's just consistent bad faith negotiations from David Zaslav and the heads and the powers that be at Warner Brothers Discovery. It's not
What's
surprising,
new?
But at the same time, it's embarrassing for them.
They may have matched the money, but there must have been some clause within it or some detail that they did not want to agree to, and the NBA used that to say, well, you didn't match it, period.
Yep.
And like I said, though, I also have a belief that the NBA was saying, we are going to comb over this entire proposal, and if you forgot to dot a single I, we are going to say that it did not match the Amazon Prime one. It is just very clear to me that they don't want to be in business with Zaslav, they don't want to be in business with Warner Brothers Discovery, and they want to go ahead and move on with the relationship with Amazon Prime, because if we're being quite honest, that's where the future is going.
Yep.
It's where the dollar is leading. And we have said it throughout all of sports, college football expansion, no matter what sport you're talking about, wherever the dollar lies is where the programming is going to be.
Yep.
Period.
And then for those that want to know about Amazon's schedule and how this is going to work, they immediately put out their graphics for NBA
within
on Amazon.
Minutes.
Within minutes of
minutes.
This being denied. But Amazon will have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday coverage of NBA games. They'll have 66 regular season games for the entire year, and then they will cover the NBA Cup, so the in-season tournament, the play-in, and the playoffs. So you'll be able to catch all of those different things on Amazon. So Warner Brothers just
lost out. I'm curious to see what it does with the price. What will Prime Video look like now?
I hope if you're grandfathered in, you don't have to just go up in price.
Oh, we're going to go up.
We're going to go up, but how much per month?
Well, I'm curious to see if it's going to be a package that you can purchase or if it's going to be just built into your membership.
I'd imagine now that this is all finalized, we'll learn that in the next couple of months, right?
I think I'd prefer it being built into the membership because that would be a lower price.
Yeah, build it into the membership. I don't want to buy an extra package on top.
Right.
Just build it into the membership.
We've seen other streaming services do the you have to buy this package deal to get these sports, like most notably Apple with MLS.
Well, did Max, when Max started picking up some NBA games,
it was free.
It was built into the membership.
The Bleacher Report. The Bleacher Report sports.
But it was built into
the
membership fee. I hope they go that direction. It's just easier for everybody.
I'm sure they will. I can't see them. The only way I see them doing a package is if somehow. I do wonder if this leads to Amazon getting the local programming now, though. Like, will we have to go to Amazon now to watch the Grizzlies?
Well,
because I know we have another season of Valley, but I wonder.
I don't want to speculate on that because the regional sport, the RSNs are completely separate from the NBA deal.
Feels like an easy solution, though.
It feels like an easy solution, but I don't know. I mean, getting all 30 teams to agree to the same thing, especially with what we have going on with the Phoenix Suns, where they're just going to put it on cable.
Sure.
Normal cable. Like, I think those two things are completely separate. So we'll just have to keep an eye out on what that looks like. And I don't think we'll hear about that for another year until next season ends, quite frankly.
It's
probably figure it out toward the end of next season.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, too, to see Charles Barkley now on that show. He has no reason to not say things.
I love that part of it. I loved it at the end of last year.
It's going to be very curious.
It's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be must-watch television.
I wonder if he oversteps, though. If he probably will. He'll probably.
Why not?
He has nothing to lose.
They were so pissed off last year in the playoffs. It was during the Pacers-Knicks series. It was so gross. TNT did an entire cutaway to David Zaslav and was like, look at him with all of his superstar friends. And they cut back to Barkley in the studio.
People
were like, what the hell was that?
Well, but Barkley's gone back and forth with the David Zaslav.
Oh, he hates him.
They
all hate him.
He hates him, but as they started to say they were going to match and that they were going to try to keep this thing alive, he was starting to act like he was a little more buddy-buddy with David Zaslav. He's gone back and forth.
Barkley's buddy-buddy with that shit.
He'll say this. He has no reason to hold back on David Zaslav at this point.
None.
Yeah. But I wonder if there's going to be some litigation here back and forth.
It just feels pointless for them to do it. Because you're not going to – I just don't think that you're going to beat Amazon or the NBA. And them together, good luck. Good luck. Everything that Warner Bros. Discovery has done in the last year and a half, 2 years,
I don't know how much is to be said because I don't think there's a lot of David Zaslav fans out there. But there's something to be said about putting up a fight in the public eye. and keeping people on your good side, or trying to sway people to the good side. But I don't know if that. I don't know if that holds any weight here. We'll see. Now we need to get to hour number two. David Cobb will lead us off from CBS Sports, talking college football and college basketball. We'll be right back. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.